What I learned in fifth grade. I befriended Catherine the summer before my new school began. Her family readily absorbed me, like another helping of whipped potatoes and steaming beef tips, accepted with a nod around their wood chip farm table below the sticky curl of fly tape. Sister Mona encouraged shy but delighted oration with, "Our new student has poetic potential." Finished, I glanced up and saw middle fingers extended upward on outstretched arms when she wasn't looking. The sea of green plaid shifted and swirled into the walls, pulled desks, chairs, ceiling, my air into the crescendo of a silent tsunami, lifted my feet, pushed me down, rendered me invisible. Maggie was her name. Four or more followed her every command. Now I saw Catherine was invisible too, yet somehow they noticed her jet black hair stand out against her pallid skin, startled blue topaz eyes, wobbly, fawn-like legs. Maggie and the four or more pushed her face up against cold black-and-white tiles and, defiant of the sun-filled bathroom windows, smeared chapstick in her hair. In the dimly lit halls, Catherine walked stiffly, whimpered softly as they poked pins into her arms, her back, her butt. They stood knock-kneed in a line as she came out for recess, wide-eyed and slow, like cattle on the ramp of a slaughterhouse. They whispered from desks behind things that made big tears jump from her bowed, motionless head onto the smeared glass of her wire rims, collect and rush down the flush of her salt-dried cheeks. Father Mike, the sisters, and lay teachers were invisible too. Maggie and the four or more flicked paint at the back of Sister Mona's habit, staged sit-ins in the foyer after recess. One day the gate was opened to Maggie's neighborhood and my parents drove in. I heard them say, "Look, a groundskeeper. You know, it wouldn't be such a good church and school without their generous contributions."